Welcome to another episode of our Slovak Ancestry podcast. My name is Michal Rázus and this podcast is created with the support of podcast industry. Our today's special guest is not connected with Slovakia by blood, but rather by melody. Ladies and gentlemen, musician, performer, composer, teacher, and one of the best fujara players in the world, Mr. Bob Bohuslav Rychlík. Welcome, Bob. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Great, thank you very much. Before we start to speak about the music and fujara, can you please tell us a little bit about your personal story, which is also very interesting? You are now living in the United States, but you are originally Czech, right?
Yeah, well, I'm originally Czechoslovak, but I was born in Moravia, and my mother tongue is Czech, but I speak Slovak as well.
And so how did you get to the United States? Because you are living now there, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was very, very hard to get away from that country, but it was necessary because I was offered membership in Communist Party and I didn't want to be a member of Communist Party. So I very politely refused and then I lost my job because of that. And I realized that my refusal to join the Communist Party, they would punish you also on your children. And my two boys were very good at school. They were excellent in their classes. And I knew right away that they would never get to study at any college.
Yes. So you have decided to leave to the free country, to the United States, right?
Yeah. Well, I had no idea that I would get here. I just needed to get out of the country. We had no idea. It was like a jump into the darkness. You didn't know where you will land. And it was very difficult. Of course, we had to leave illegally. You cannot just go and travel to the West. You know, they wouldn't let you. You were like in the camp with barbed wire around. And if you try to run across the border, they would shoot you. It's a long story. I'll just make it shorter. We went to the refugee camp Transkirchen in Austria. We spent there about 8 months. And finally, we were accepted at an interview by the United States. And in 1984, we landed in Baltimore, Maryland, and we stayed in the state until today.
I see. Let's focus now about our main subject today, about fujara. I know you as a passionate fujara player and big popularizer and promoter of this beautiful instrument. Can you actually describe it a little bit to our listeners? What is it, fujara?
Yeah, you know what? Before I got my first fujara, I only heard it on like radio and I didn't know how the instrument looked. And like when I saw the fujara, this is a very long tube, main tube, and on the top is something what looks like a whistle. The problem is if you would be playing at the end and blowing with your mouth, you in no way could be able to reach the side holes, which are open and closed to get different tones. So fujaras were originally much smaller, but as they were growing in size, they finally got a length where this could be done. So they added the Slovak ingenuity. They added another tube on the side, which is just carrying the air. So you blow into that side tube on its bottom, which is about in the middle of the main tube. So you blow into that and the air is being carried up. And then through connection, it enters the dino main tube. And then it is going down the same way as if you would be blowing at the upper end. So it is being played upright in vertical position. And you just, with your hands, you cover those three holes. And that's all. And because it is an overtone flute, that means it has many overtones, which all you can play with all holes closed. So I'm not taking fujara in my hand right now. And I will stand up and I will close all three holes. And then I will blow just a little bit, and then blow a little harder and harder and harder. And you will see how many tones I will get with all holes closed. So this is like just no feather breath, almost nothing. So then little more, little more, more, more. And when you go from top to down, you have the typical fuera, they call it Rossfug, and it's being translated as a scatter. Many people say when they hear the scatter, they say, okay, this is fuera, because no other instrument can actually make this kind of sound. And usually it's being used at, you know, beginning of performance. It is very typical of fuera. At the beginning, it has a sound. It sounds a little bit like, you know, didgeridoo. So people are saying, like, is this like a didgeridoo? And my answer is absolutely not. It has nothing to do with didgeridoo, because didgeridoo is an open tube into which you make, like, with your lips, like if you would be playing, you know, trumpet, like something like this, you know, vibrating your lips. You know, didgeridoo has basically one tone with some sound effects. The fuera has two octaves of scale, of, you know, major and minor scale. It can play many songs. It can play even classical music, as I do these days. Fuera is like a real music instrument.
We can say that fuera is a full-blooded musical instrument.
Exactly, exactly. When in 2005 was fuera accepted in UNESCO as an intangible cultural heritage of all mankind, fuera and its music. They really realized the potential of the instrument, but then it was after the fall of the Iron Curtain. So suddenly the rest of the world discovered the fuera, and they started to buy the instrument, but a lot of people started to make fueras just to sell them, you know, just they beautifully decorated them and they didn't really tune them very well.
How can you actually tune fuera? Because there are just holes in the wood. So I can imagine that you can tune guitar or piano, but how do you tune fuera?
Yeah, fuera has to be tuned by the maker. It depends how well he places the side holes. There are three holes, and you have the levels of overtones, right, which are played with all holes closed. And there are several tones between, and those tones are being played by opening the side holes. So if those side holes are not placed right, those tones are off.
I have one question that we need to go a little bit back to the beginning when it all started. How can Czech living in the United States get in touch with traditional Slovak musical instrument? When do you remember the moment when it all started and why it attracted you that much?
Yeah, definitely. I remember when I was a child, and there was a weather report on radio. They play this you know, fuera scatter sound, and I remember that sound, and I had always fuera in like back of my mind, but, you know, I never saw anybody perform it live or like anything. And I was very interested in music since child. I was taking, you know, piano, but I was much more interested in guitar. And I taught myself to play guitar well enough so I could. I was actually teaching for 2 years before our escape at a state music school at our town, because they just needed somebody.
This was still in Czechoslovakia, right?
Yeah, still in Czechoslovakia. Guitar was my first music love. My second big love was, you know, five-string banjo, of course. When I got to this country, you know, I needed two extra money after our first basic jobs. I was working on an assembly line. You know, you can imagine there was not much money. So I was actually teaching guitar and banjo on the side. But we much improved in our positions through hard work, and we saved, and finally we. After 10 years, we were able to move outside of the big city instead of Maryland, which was Baltimore. And big cities here are not desirable to live in. You would maybe understand that. Then after like 15 years here, something started to be missing in my life. And I thought, like, I need to be complete. I need back something from my original country. And I remember the Fuera, which was to me the most clear example of the original culture, which was not skewed by communist propagation, you know, by communist brainwashing. Nothing like that was with Fuera. Those songs were from the past and they were not really being used by no communist systems. My friend in Slovakia, who was also guitar player and banjo player, one of the first banjo players in Slovakia, but he was also making Fueras. He had three Fueras which he made himself. And he said, "You can have one of those." I said, like, "Whoa, really? So could you play them for me?" And he played them for me. And when he played the one, I knew that was the one. It was just calling for me. I was leaving the next day. So my other friend told me how to hold it and how to open and close the holes and record one song on cassette tape. And like that was it. Next day, I was flying back to the United States. So based on the tape, I have learned how to play, basically. And then I love it so much. I wanted to share its beauty with like other people. I wanted to give American people something back for the way they accepted us with open arms, really. We were going in Baltimore to English classes. I was going just for 10 days. They were asking, hearing us talking in Czech language, I said, "Where are you from?" We said, like, Czechoslovakia. And it's like, "Are you here visiting?" And we said, no, we escaped the country. "You are the refugee. It's wonderful that I have met real refugees. Like, you are so welcome here." And like, they were so accepting. And I really like to give them back something, which is this wonderful instrument. But first of all, people who are of Slovak origin, we are hopefully listening to this right now. This is instrument for you. This is the real tradition. This is the Fuera is the shining diamond of Slovak folklore. Slovaks should be proud of it. And like many, many nations envy Slovakia. It has instrument of its own. Not many nations have an instrument which doesn't exist in any other country. And this instrument is so wonderful. People are playing the instrument right away. If they know how to hold it, and know how to keep all the holes closed, they just blow different strength and they have different tones.
What you are saying is that basically you can learn how to play Fuera within a couple of days?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, I will just take my Fuera and I will not open a single hole. And I will play something what you could recognize. Right? You know that one. But also, for example, in like Czechoslovakia and Austria, Hungary, there was a post service and the postman had a like bugle and they were playing. So you got all these signals you can play on Fuera.
Fantastic.
So you see how it is easy. You just blow. And like, of course, you could start even this overtone scale is being used all over the place. For example, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart in his Eine kleine Nachtmusik, he starts. Right? All plays with the hole closed. And well, then if you want to continue, you have to open some holes. And so on. Fuera is just wonderful.
Awesome. And it's great that you are not keeping all this knowledge and skills and your passion to Fuera just for yourself, but I know that you are also organizing workshops in Maryland, and it has been already some times that you started this activity, and you are also promoting Fuera in TV shows and even TEDx conferences and etc. Tell us a little bit more about these your skills. How do people like Fuera, and are they willing to learn, play on it? How is that?
They really love it. You know, it's like people who come to the course, they are totally surprised. I have been teaching it at Common Ground on the Hill at the McDaniel College in Westminster for past 11 years. And every year I had four, five, or six students. So there will be maybe 50 students, 50 people who learn something. Some of them continue to play, some of them don't, or they are just happy they have something to show. Every student will learn the simplest song which everybody knows. And even if you are in any country in the world and you speak English, you probably know this song which is being played in church, Amazing Grace. I teach this song as the first one because people know it. And you only need to open one hole on Fujara to play the whole song. Right. So these are actually first tones of our tone scale. So they are amazing. And then you open the bottom hole and you close it. See? This is so easy. You could do it right away. If you would have Fujara, I could teach you to play it over the phone.
Maybe actually some of our listeners would appreciate and would love to join some of your courses. Are you actually preparing something? Can they apply for your lessons, or where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm not doing it at home. I'm just one of 100 teachers who are teaching different music instruments once a year at the McDaniel College in Westminster here in Maryland. And the organization is called Common Ground on the Hill. Or you can email me. My email address is fujara@gmail.com.
Are you going to have a course this year, or is it going to be the next year then?
Well, last year and this year we had it over Zoom, and it was fine. I had actually last year I had best students, because when they come to the college, there's so many programs, there's so many other instruments, there are jams, and there are evening concerts, there are official jams after the concerts, and there are parties at night. So they get distracted. They don't practice for the next day, you know. So now when I was teaching through the Zoom, they actually practiced, so we had so much progress during that week, more than normally. So it worked really well. I was very happy. but the personal experience, if you can get here, this is something special. This place is magical. This is the best vacation of my life when I am there for the 1 week teaching. And the jams and the parties, you know, this is just wonderful. I love to play with other people.
Wow. What is the longest time you have been playing on Fujara nonstop?
Yeah, well...
Do you have any personal record, actually? Do you have any record?
Yes, I had a personal record which was not planned. You know, in 2009, they started to make in America event which is called European Union Open Door Day. So all the EU embassies were opened from 9 to like 4 p.m. So people could just go there free. There are buses taking people free from embassy to embassy. And this first year, just a couple of days before this event, Slovak's embassy realized they didn't have any program. So they called me and said, like, well, we have this event. Would you be able, you know, could you come here and like play for people? Some people would come probably to embassy and so we can show them the Fujara. And I said, like, well, yeah, certainly. And I have put on my you know, Slovak dress and a Fujara. And I thought, well, maybe when the bus would come, there would be 20, 30 people. I would play for them and the bus would leave and next bus would come. I would have some rest. Not really like that. That first day came over 2,500 people, and the place was packed all the time, and I couldn't stop because the new people who were coming would not be hearing the Fujara. I didn't want to take it away from them. So I stayed on that stage for 6 hours. I only had a very quick run to bathroom in the middle, and then I was only drinking a little bit water and like changing the instruments because I was afraid one would be damaged by such a long playing, you know. And that was my record. And then next year, it was 5.5 hours.
I read somewhere that, especially thanks to your activities, Fujara became acknowledged as one of the traditions in the state of Maryland. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is correct. I was playing at like many places in Maryland because I live here. From my several hundred accumulated performances, maybe 50 would be around here, Washington DC, Virginia. So they knew about me and they told me about this program, which is an apprenticeship program, that they want people who have some skill which should be preserved. It could be musical skill, it could be all different skills, you know, which were typical for, you know, Maryland. You know, you could actually get an apprentice and like we would pay you for 1 year and he will get some pay as well. So you will be teaching him to be your continuation. I thought, well, this is wonderful. I need somebody when I will not be here anymore, you know. So somebody will be continuing in this tradition here. So I jumped on it. I was just waiting for somebody special. And I found one of my students. He's of Slovak origin. He was brought to this country as a child. He can speak Slovaks. And he was very interested in Fujara. So he was in one of my classes before. I knew he was the best candidate. So I talked to him and he said, fantastic. He just jumped to that opportunity. So he was my apprentice. And after 1 year of teaching, there was a folk festival in Baltimore and we had their performance together. We are still in touch. I want him to continue to be progressing so he would get to the point where he can actually teach as well. So we can take my role when I'm not here. And
well, hopefully also this podcast can help you to find and share this beautiful message of music and of our culture and heritage. Maybe some our listeners will apply for the courses and you will find some new students.
I hope so. That's my goal. That's my goal.
What do you think? What is the future of Fujara? Is it the instrument that belongs to museum and maybe folklore events? Or is it a live music instrument that will bring still joy to the people also in the 21st century? And based on our interview, I guess what will be the answer, but still, I want to hear it from you.
I know, of course. You are right. There is a danger of the traditionalist saying nothing else can be played on Fujara, only the traditional Fujara music as it was preserved on the, you know, recordings and now is on some CDs available. Now you can learn to play all these melodies from the CDs as I did and I do. But this is like conserve. This is like a museum. I'm trying to influence, to, you know, develop Fujara and accept it generally as full-blown musical instrument, which it really is. It has a complete scale in 2 octaves, so you can play practically everything. There was a one tone which was missing on Fujara, which was the C-sharp. Well, it's not really being used that much, but, you know, I wanted to play American National Anthem and Rider, there was the C sharp. So I said, okay, I need to get the stone. And the C is played with all three holes open. You open holes and you play C. So when you want to play D, you close them all and blow a little bit harder. But how do you play the C sharp? You need to open one more hole. And there was none. So Dušan Holík, wonderful music instrument maker and an interpret and organizer of festivals, he understood me right away. So he said, oh, okay, I'll like make you one. I said, yeah, you have to make it under my thumb on the opposite side of Fujara. He made me this Fujara with like additional hole. So now the Fujara with this extra hole is fully chromatic in 2 octaves. So it can play anything in any scale, in any key. When you play traditional Fujara music, you only play in key of the Fujara. If the Fujara is G, you play everything in G. This is the easiest way because those tones are already there and you can just fill in the missing holes by, you know, opening the side holes. If you would like to find out more, I'm explaining everything about the Fujara and Koncovka. If you Google Library of Congress, Fujara, and possibly my name, there is a 1 hour lecture concert which was done for Library of Congress of the United States. And in that I'm like showing and explaining how the Fujara works and doing some, you know, concert and also showing the origins of Fujara, how Fujara got to Slovakia, you know, and everything about that. You could also Google that talk, like, you know, the TEDx, Fujara and Freedom. You can find me on Facebook, Bob Riklik.
Thank you very much for taking us to the amazing world of music, of Fujara and Koncovka. And I cannot imagine a better way how to say goodbye than, again, with music.
I love this piece. It is composed music for the movie The Snowman, and it's called Walking in the Air.
That was all for today, and I am looking forward to you next week. You were listening to Slovak Ancestry podcast with Michal Rázus, created with the support of Podcast Industry. You can find us at Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast. If you have an interesting family story and you would like to share it, feel free to contact me via email in the description.